Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Joe Biden's swamp creature picks for his potential new administration and a victory for life in the circuit courts. We'll talk about that today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Before we even get to the potential Biden administration picks, remember, these would be picks that two of the three that we're going to talk about today have to be confirmed. One does not. That may be actually one of the most troubling picks by Joe Biden. That's the person who will serve as national security advisor in a potential Biden administration. He was one of the architects of the Iran nuclear deal, or the JCPOA, which Joe Biden has indicated he wants to have the United States rejoin. We'll talk about that later in the second half hour with Wes Smith, who's a retired colonel, and wrote a piece about it last week on ACLJ.org about the dangers of a potential Biden administration. And Iran, when so much progress was being made to really isolate Iran in that region of the world with the peace deals, with the UAE, with Bahrain, with even potentially more coming in the current Trump administration, potentially. So again, I want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And also, before we get deeper into that, note that in a case the ACLJ was asked to file in by the Attorney General of Tennessee, Tennessee put in place a law restricting sex-based abortions, abortions based off kids having any kind of like Down syndrome. So for reasons like that, and they put a law banning abortions for those reasons. That law was, of course, immediately challenged by Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. And it's made its way to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals with a victory at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. The law is allowed to go into force. That will be appealed to the Supreme Court. And we're just talking about the procedural issues on this case so far. Ultimately, it will have to go to on the merits, and we'll be briefing this into 2021. So in a matching challenge month like the month of November, it's a key time to remember that the ACLJ's work is already continuing on into next year in a key victory for life. Frank Mannion, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, he'll be joining us in this first half hour of the broadcast to talk to us about this victory out of this Tennessee abortion case, which is so key. Again, to remind you, the battles we're engaged in at the ACLJ do not stop. And we also want to prepare you for what a potential Biden administration will look like. We don't want anybody to be caught off guard. Two of the three people we're going to be talking about today have to be confirmed. Those confirmations will look very differently if Chuck Schumer is the majority leader or if Mitch McConnell remains majority leader. And that comes down to those two runoff elections in Georgia, which are on January 5th, not too far away, in a state that's had a lot of issues with its presidential election and the counting there. The governor, Kemp, finally kind of coming out and saying there were issues there. The Trump campaign petitioning for a recount that actually looks at the signature matching there specifically, which wasn't done in the initial recount of mail-in ballots. They didn't look at whether or not the signatures on the outside of the ballots matched. So they want that to be looked at. But they've got a new election there, runoff, on January 5th that will decide the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. I want to go right to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., because, Than, what we see from these first few individuals named with the foreign policy world is a return right back to the end of America first. It's kind of like America last again. And what Rick Reynell talks about, all this compromise, rejoining all the international organizations with no changes at all, like the WHO and other UN entities, and kind of going back to putting people who were removed from the State Department by the Trump administration and putting them right back into higher positions of power, even cabinet level.
Yeah, personnel always has been policy, Jordan, and nowhere is that more true than in the area of foreign affairs. And look, we saw in the Obama administration what the appeasement strategy yielded. It yielded you that terrible deal with Iran. Jordan, if you put all of the same people or people with similar views back in the same places, I've got news for you. That's exactly the policy that you will get again. America last, appeasement first.
We're going to go through these individuals with you. We come back. We'll talk about that pro-life victory and what it means moving forward next. Remember, key time for the ACLJ November, the matching challenge month. If a group of donors ready to match all the donations that come through, donate online, double your impact at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So let's go through some of these names that we know about. Now, we know that we haven't heard about where Bernie Sanders will fall yet. Is he gonna end up as Secretary of Labor? Now, we have heard from the Biden team that the Secretary of Treasury, which hasn't been announced, it either will be announced, this potential Secretary of Treasury that would have to go forward. Most of these have to go through Senate confirmation. Is someone that would appeal to moderates and progressives. That would. Meanwhile, I think they're taking Bernie Sanders out of the running for that and moving in. But is that someone like Elizabeth Warren? I mean, think about it. I mean, that could still be someone who's pretty radical to the left, who they think is still someone that mainstream Democrats and progressive Democrats would support. They didn't say moderate Republicans, by the way. They are really tipping their hat more on foreign policy. So let's start with the highest ranking official that they've kind of let out of the bag, and that is Tony Blinken. He has been around a long time. They want to put him forward as Secretary of State. He was Deputy Secretary of State from 2015 to 2017. He was the Deputy National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2015 under President Obama. This is someone, Than, who has been, if you talk about the Washington swamp, he's been there in the State Department, but on the political side of it for a very long time. He's also worked for CNN as a foreign affairs, global affairs analyst. So it kind of just tells you who you're getting there. He is not someone who is radical on Israel in a sense that anti-Israel. So it may be kind of an olive branch there that he has said, even on the record, that Joe Biden's policy and the security of Israel would not specifically be tied to whether, they would not, quote, tie Israel, military assistance to Israel, to things like annexation or other decisions by the government, which they might disagree. So there are some good sides there with him as Secretary of State when it comes to Israel. There's also some question marks, though, because he could be, he's also signaled kind of a potential scuttling of these historic peace deals the Trump administration was able to put together between some of the Gulf states and the state of Israel, like the UAE.
Well, if you start on the issue of Israel, Jordan, I think it's incumbent on Vice President Joe Biden, and if he's going to be named Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, to clarify that that would be the position and that they would not undermine those peace deals. I mean, I think everybody on both sides of the aisle, Jordan, should agree that those were historic strides forward, and a new administration certainly ought to honor them. But more broadly speaking, Jordan, if I look at the time that Mr. Blinken served in the Obama administration, you're basically talking about the second term there. He split his time between Deputy National Security Advisor and Deputy Secretary of State. Jordan, that was right in the throes, as you know, of the negotiations over the Iran deal. And I just don't think there's any way you can look back on that period and think it was anything but a colossal failure. So as the Biden administration would potentially be setting a path forward on that, and if Mr. Blinken is going to be at the head of the State Department, Jordan, that is a time period that he should have to answer for. So if he goes before the United States Senate, I would hope that those are the questions that they center on. Maybe on the Israel front, saying, look, can you at least affirm that the strides that have been made forward in the last 4 years are positive ones for the United States? And then on the Iran deal, Jordan, I really think he should be pressed very, very hard to point to a tangible benefit that came out of that deal, because for my money, there wasn't one, and returning to it would be catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, let me just tell you. So we talked to about the Iran nuclear deal. That ties directly, Than, to someone that they've already announced, Jake Sullivan. This is someone who won't have to be confirmed, so it will not matter about the balance power of the Senate, as National Security Advisor. He was actually one of the people who crafted an architect of that nuclear deal, Than. I know we're going to get into this more with Wes, but it just tips the hat that we're going to be right back to where we were, which was a foreign policy disaster. I mean, I think it's Joe Biden's biggest weakness is his foreign policy, and he's bringing back the people who put together some of the worst foreign policy positions of the Obama administration, like Jake Sullivan, who will, as an architect of the JCPOA, want us right back into this failed Iran nuclear deal at a time when we have seen the Trump administration isolate Iran as even a regional player.
Yeah, let's start at the staff level and then move our way up. We talked about Mr. Blinken being a deputy national security advisor. Now, Jake Sullivan reportedly going to be appointed as national security advisor. Jordan, I think probably the reason he's getting that instead of something else is exactly what you said. He doesn't have to be confirmed by the United States Senate. I view his previous role in being the architect of the JCPOA as disqualifying. And by the way, I think a Republican Senate would view it that way, too. Now,
right.
We don't know exactly what the makeup of the Senate is going to look like. Yet another reason to look forward to those January 5th runoffs. But Jordan, I now just to raise it up a level, if Joe Biden says that Jake Sullivan is going to be his national security advisor, and I want people to listen to me very clearly. What is Joe Biden telling you? He is telling you he wants to return to the posture where the JCPOA is the leading edge of the foreign policy of the United States. He doesn't have to come out and say it. If he puts Jake Sullivan in this place, Jordan, that is what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take your phone calls to this 1-800-684-3110. Listen, I know a lot of you have got questions about the legal challenges that are going to be still being filed. The Third Circuit announcing that the Pennsylvania case from the Trump campaign has been fast-tracked. But I want to be honest with you about this. There's some kind of shakeup there with Sidney Powell. You've all saw that. I talked about a Georgia case being filed and on Newsmax on Saturday, and it looks like now that's actually going to be in Sidney Powell's kind of purview. So outside the Trump technical, the campaign world, which is not where we do outside of our role as ACLJ, we represent the president in his personal capacity. We don't represent the Trump campaign. But again, it looks like that would be coming through Sidney Powell. So I kind of now kind of passing that off to her if that will be filed in Georgia, because there was that shakeup that we had nothing to do with. But I just do want to address that for you. For those of you who saw that or saw that on online, that would be likely be handled by Sidney Powell. It could be filed. But I only want to present to you, when it comes to information like that, the most accurate info as we get later into this process. I don't want to be speculating at all. I think we have to be as accurate as possible as representatives of President Trump in his personal capacity. And so we're going to do that. And if we can't be as accurate as possible, or you feel like it's a day where we need to give it a day, we're going to do that because we want you to come away with the right information, not just information. but the right information. So I did want to address that there. And we're going to talk about these other issues because I think it's important. And Thad, I want to go right back to you on this, that as important as the presidential election is, these two Georgia runoffs cannot be pushed to the side. In fact, I think they need to be seen as side. You need to see this as side by side. If you don't like the way this election has been turning out and the problems that we've seen in these states across the country, there needs to be a massive turnout in Georgia for these two Republican senators, Stan, that is so big it can't be stolen, that there won't be any doubt to who won those elections. And they're going to, but instead, it looks like right now with the polling, they're going to be right on the line again with, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of a few thousand votes separating these two. We need to see something big to put those races to bed on the night of January 5th and keep Republicans in control of the U.S. Senate so that there is a check on these potential nominees that we are talking about from Joe Biden.
Yeah, and a couple of reasons for that, Jordan. Number one, we know that they're going to happen. I mean, we know come January 5th, right, both of these races are going to be on the ballot. And I think there are a lot of folks that, you know, look, I'm one of them. I think that Senator Perdue's race very well may have gotten over the 50% threshold if he were allowed to pursue all of the challenges that I thought were available to him. I don't love the fact that it's heading to a recount, Jordan. But look, we've got to live in reality. Both of those races are on the ballot come January 5th. And the second point that I would make is it's something that people who are listening who might be frustrated, Jordan, they have a role to play. I mean, many of those folks are in Georgia and they get to go to the ballot box. They get to go into that booth and vote in each of these elections. And if there is going to be a President Biden, if there's going to be a House that is, you know, Speaker Pelosi has the gavel, if there's not a Senate that has a check on that, I got to tell you, the names that we're talking about in these positions, Jordan, that will be the least of the concern for people listening. You're talking Green New Deal. You're talking into the legislative filibuster. You're talking court packing, and you're talking about that right off the bat. So look, I just think January 5th right now, there's a lot of other dates that are important in the presidential challenges that are going forward, and people should continue to pay attention to those. But Jordan, if January 5th falls off of the list of dates that people are paying attention to, the consequences and the price, it's going to be very heavy.
And let me tell you, because we got one of the top chatters on YouTube. You know, we're on YouTube now live. We're on Facebook live. People are there watching. We're Periscope, and of course, you know, 1,000+ radio stations live and on Sirius XM. And someone wrote in, are we now conceding that Biden will be the president? Is President Trump giving up? No, none of that has happened. You know, none of that has happened. You haven't heard any speech like that from President Trump or from his legal team. What we are doing at the ACLJ is taking what the Biden team is providing us, the information, and preparing. Because let's be honest, folks. I mean, you still want to be prepared. You do not want to be caught off guard by what his team may be, especially if Republicans in the Senate are able to be a check on that team because of the confirmation process. And we also need to know what's coming. I mean, that's what we're trying to provide for you. We've got all the experts at the ACLJ to do that. You know, but because, again, it would be foolish not to talk about the Georgia Senate races, foolish not to focus in on who Joe Biden is talking about putting forward as his cabinet. You need to know that. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, I'm covering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress. The ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So in the midst of all the election, you know, this kind of chaos around this is a chaotic time, and who is going to be president of the United States, and with Biden trying to move forward with his picks. And we're going to focus in on that, folks, because we're not going to be caught flat-footed. We're not going to let you be caught off guard. We're going to be prepared at the ACLJ. We're going to be fully briefing senators. We're going to be ready to go for those confirmation battles if they do occur. You cannot just imagine a perfect world. Have to imagine the real world. Does that mean the other battles stopped? No. And as I said before, I want to make sure, after kind of all this scuttle over the weekend with different members and different kinds of Trump legal teams, and remember, in our representation, aside from the ACLJ, we represent the president's individual capacity. We don't represent the Trump campaign, and that apparatus. So I will bring you information on that when I know it is 100% accurate. But I want to be very careful right now at this time period to be either one, building up expectations or putting down expectations. So on days like this, when I cannot bring you 100% accurate information about what is going to be filed and who is going to be arguing it, we're going to be focusing on the real world as well, on other parts of the real world. And one of those other parts of the real world is victories in court on the life issue. Frank Mannion, senior counsel with the ACLJ, is joining us right now. Frank, I want you to walk people through, because you know, we had all the election, we've had a lot of focus on that, and the post-election controversy, but this is a case, a big pro-life victory out of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, but it's just getting started because we're at really the procedural stage, so walk people through. I know the Attorney General of Tennessee asked us to get involved as the ACLJ. Walk people through this case and what it's about.
Sure, Jordan. Well, this past summer, the Tennessee legislature passed a law that, among other things, restricted abortions based on gender, race, or Down syndrome diagnosis. You would think that this would be viewed as a liberal, progressive-type law. But here we have the abortion industry, which immediately went to court to challenge this, loving to portray itself as liberal and progressive, fighting tooth and nail against a law that protects people from being killed based on their race, gender, or disability. So that's what happened here. Even before the law was officially enacted, before the governor signed it, they sued in federal court. And somehow, miraculously, the abortion industry always finds favorable judges who issue injunctions. So the minute that the governor of Tennessee signed the law, they went to court and got it enjoined. So the federal court in Tennessee issued an injunction against the enforcement of the law. The state of Tennessee appealed, and as you pointed out, they asked us to weigh in on the case alongside them, which we've done. We filed our brief last week. In the meantime, the state of Tennessee filed a motion with the appeals court saying the court should not have entered an injunction against the law. It should be allowed to be in effect while the appeal is pending. And just this past Friday, a panel of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the state of Tennessee, issued a stay on the lower court's injunction. And I know it's getting technical here, but that basically saying that this part of the law about Down syndrome, gender, and race can go into effect and can remain in effect while the appeal is pending, which will be for quite a while now.
And this is, we've been talking about this, Frank, with people today, that the ACLJ's work is already continuing into 2021. This is an example of one of those cases where we've got a great pro-life victory, one that makes sense. It makes sense that if when it comes to abortion, you cannot have an abortion and say, I'm doing this because I want another girl and this is a boy, and so that's why I'm doing the abortion, or Down syndrome, and it seems like that this is just good public policy. And this is a battle, though, Frank, that will continue into the next year.
Oh, it's going to continue in the next year and beyond, Jordan, because these laws are being passed around the country, and they're being struck down by lower federal courts. As we know, we now maybe have a better, more level playing field in the appellate courts, and we're hoping to get some good results over the next couple of years in those courts.
And the reason why, Frank, there, and I like to go back to this, is that if we're talking about President Trump and a legacy there on the courts, he made sure that there were no vacancies there. So a third of those Court of Appeals, and I'll go to Than on this quickly, but Than, a third of those Court of Appeals judges are Trump nominees, were nominated by President Trump.
Yeah, not a single vacancy left up into the deadline where you could get them in. And Jordan, I mean, even on some of the circuits where it wasn't switched, we talk about the Ninth Circuit a lot. There are 10, Jordan, 10 of the 29 judges that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals of all places were nominated by President Trump. It's going to be a legacy, Jordan, that no matter when he transitions out of office, that's going to be a legacy that exists for generations to come. It's something that he deserves a lot of credit for. It's something that Leader McConnell deserves a lot of credit for. And then also Chairman Grassley and Chairman Graham of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
You know, let me ask you this, Frank. What happens next in this case so people know? So what will they expect to happen next? What will the ACLJ be doing next?
Well, the ACLJ filed its friend of the court brief just last week. So the case will proceed to a hearing or an argument on the merits of the appeal several months down the road, and then we'll wait for a decision. But as Than pointed out, with these new appointments, with these recent appointments, finally, people like the ACLJ and organizations like ours are encouraged that we may have a more level playing field in the courts of appeals, particularly in abortion cases where for years the deck has been stacked against us. And the legislatures would pass sound, common sense, humane laws that would just automatically get struck down. And while that may still happen, as it happened here in the district courts, at least we have some hope going forward that we have a better chance of prevailing at the Court of Appeals and, of course, at the Supreme Court, which we all know about.
And so ultimately, is this the kind of case, Frank, that because the way it's moving right now, that could ultimately be at the Supreme Court and kind of set the precedent for other states that want to enact this kind of common sense public policy when it comes to restrictions on abortion that can be found to be constitutional even under existing precedent?
Yes, and that's what we're hoping. Other jurisdictions have filed these similar laws and had them struck down by different courts of appeals so that hopefully we get a split in the circuits out of the Sixth Circuit. And as you know, that's the kind of case that's ticketed for the Supreme Court eventually.
Folks, I just want you to understand that this is work that, and Frank, I think it was pretty unique here too. It just kind of speaks to the ACLJ's expertise that the Attorney General of Tennessee actually came to us. We would obviously likely be filing in a case like this. We get the approval to file, but they actually proactively came to us and said, please file in this with your brief because you guys are experts on this.
Exactly what happened here, and it's part of what we do and what we've been doing for decades, and that's why they turned to us in a case like this.
So folks, again, I thank Frank for joining us, and again, it was just filed last week. With a victory. I mean, this is a pro-life victory in the federal courts at the circuit court level. This is something you see because of the nominees that President Trump has made, and it was confirmed by the U.S. Senate. So, it underscores the importance of these Senate races, underscores, of course, the importance of who the president is. But what this president did with the vacancies that he had, even in a first term, were so important that we're seeing the difference. And we have this, as Frank said, a chance here to get these to the Supreme Court, and the court has been changed also significantly and set very different precedents for the kind of restrictions that Supreme Court, that states can be put in place when it comes to abortion. And here it just seems so obvious that you can't say, I'm going to do this abortion because I don't want to have another boy, or I don't want to have another girl, or because this child may have Down syndrome. And that seems pretty common sense. But again, it used to be challenged, and the abortion industry would just win those carte blanche. Not anymore. And the ACLJ is there for the fight. We're there for the fight in 2020. We're going to be there for the fight in 2021. And the ACLJ is now being asked to join these fights by states. They're coming to us and saying, please fight with us. That's because of your support of the American Center for Law and Justice. We've become those kind of experts. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge Month in November, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, it was great to get that update from Frank Mannion on that major pro-life victory the ACLJ will continue working on. And I think it's just a reason why this matching challenge month of November, as we get towards the end of the month, and of course, close to the Thanksgiving holiday, if you've thought about supporting the work of the ACLJ financially, or if you do, this is a great month to do it, a great time to do it, because a matching challenge month, what that means is we have a group of donors who say that we will match all of the donations that come through in the month of November. So if you donate $20 right now at aclj.org, that is really like $40, because it takes your initial action to get those donors to match what comes through in the month of November. So a great time to support our work at the ACLJ as we work in 2020. And of course, we work into 2021 as well. Donate now at aclj.org. Now, we have breaking news to report. And again, I think it's just important. I know a lot of you are getting frustrated. I see it. Why are we talking about these potential Biden names? Because we're not going to be caught off guard. We're going to inform you. There's a chance Joe Biden is going to be president of the United States, folks. There's a likelihood. Legal challenges are always the last resort. And the later this gets, the tougher those legal challenges become. So be prepared. Make sure that the Senate isn't just going to be carte blanche support for Joe Biden. You can do that by getting involved in Georgia. There's two races there. They're going to determine the outcome of the Senate before we even go through these names, because many of these have to be confirmed by the Senate. It's either going to be carte blanche confirmation for all these people if Joe Biden gets the presidency, or a much tougher road for them if Republicans remain in charge. They're going to have to answer to a lot tougher questions.
Yeah, it'll be hard enough, Jordan, if it's 52 Republicans and 48 Democrats, just to be quite honest. I mean, all we have to do is look back over the last 4 years and realize that with a narrow majority, it was sometimes difficult to get nominees through, and those who were opposing them also had a tough time. Jordan, if the president has the Senate in his control and there is no check on the nominations, this will be a much different fight. And I would just maybe quickly, this might be a little bit trite, but I used to play basketball, Jordan, and when you first caught the pass, you were in what was called triple threat position. You could shoot, you could pass, or you could dribble. That's where we're at with the ACLJ right now. I mean, just last week, Jordan, we filed regulations in furthering President Trump's expansion of the Mexico City policy, which advances a pro-life position. Why did we do that, Jordan? Because if he is reelected and if he transitions and continues to be in office, we want that policy to be continue to expand. So we continue doing that work. But like you said, we're not going to be caught flat-footed if it goes the other direction. We want to be in that triple threat position, whereas if it does go the other way, we can be prepared when Jake Sullivan pushes us back towards the JCPOA, to the Iran deal. We will be ready to put forward credible, legitimate, substantive arguments why that would take America to a bad place. We've just very simply got an obligation to our members, Jordan, to be prepared for either eventuality.
You know, again, I want to go through. So let's go through some of the names that we're just getting now. So first of all, we talked about Tony Blinken as the person he'd like to be as Secretary of State. Let's go to the next person. This would be, and we talked about Jake Sullivan, who would be his National Security Advisor. We're going to talk about that more with Wes Smith on the Iran issue, because he was an architect of the JCPOA, or the failed Iran nuclear deal that Joe Biden wants to rush America back into. But also important is Linda Thomas Greenfield. She's as UN ambassador. That's who Joe Biden wants. Interesting enough, she was the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs at the State Department from 2013 to 2017. She's been in, you know, Foreign Service and been in swamp of the State Department for years. In 2017, she was terminated by the Trump administration because they wanted to get rid of the career professionals who were just there and, of course, trying to undermine the Trump administration's policy. These are the kind of deep state people. Again, they're going to go back to, as what Rick Rinnell talked about, that same kind of compromise, America last policies. So that's Linda Thomas Greenfield. But more names have been announced. We'll get to those when we come back. We'll have Wes Smith joining us on the Iran issue and how important and different this could be under a potential Biden administration. Support the work of the ACLJ. As you see, we're ready to go for the battles. Folks, we have to be ready for these battles, like it or not. Let's get realistic. Let's be ready for war in 2021.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Carolyn in Texas on line one, because I think it's important to point this out. I mean, people are actually calling into this radio show right now, and we're bringing Wes Smith, too, who's written about a piece about, does the Biden team plan to enable the enemy? We have to be prepared for Joe Biden as president. Right now, look at the electoral map. Does that mean that, of course, you know that we're part of the Trump legal team and that there are efforts underway, of course, the integrity of the election to make sure the legal votes are counted and illegal votes aren't counted and that maybe that will change things? Of course, we've spent a lot of time on that. But now that Joe Biden's starting to put out names, you better be prepared, folks. So, Carolyn, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Okay, the reason I called in is I'm seeing what Jordan is seeing in the comments about people being upset with why aren't they talking about, you know, the presidential campaigns and the stuff. I think some of the listeners have joined the fray because of you guys representing the president, and that's what they know you from.
Right.
If you could talk about ACLJ and what it is. I've been a listener for 30 years. I know, but I have a feeling we have listeners who might not understand both sides. I mean, for me, I value the ACLJ side more, and that's nothing against President Trump. It's just that ACLJ is our voice, no matter what happens.
That's right. So the ACLJ, thank you, Carolyn, for saying that, because the ACLJ, if you are a listener who's kind of come on board because of the Trump years and our involvement there and our continued involvement there, by the way, and I think regardless of how the election turns out, we will still be involved with President Trump in his capacity with whatever he chooses to do if it doesn't turn out in his favor. In the courts or in the legislatures. Okay? So I want you all to know that, that have joined a listing from the Trump world, that we intend to probably still be a part of that world. And we've got a lot of legal work that we're doing on behalf of the president that isn't the stuff that's in the news, but that we do on behalf of the president. So know that. But the second part is what Carolyn said. The ACLJ has existed since 1990. Okay, we are a constitutional law and government affairs organization. We are your voice in the courts and in Washington, D.C. We represent clients at no cost. In fact, we've helped assisted about 2,000 families so far during COVID who needed assistance because of this at-home learning, but they were have students with maybe learning disabilities or individual education plans, or they had a situation where they didn't have they couldn't afford the kind of internet speeds they would need to do from at-home learning, or the food delivery that was so important. We have handled that at no cost for about 2,000 families nationwide. We do that kind of work. We represent cities and towns at no cost. We represent individuals. We have a long record at the U.S. Supreme Court. So our voice on matters of the Constitution and government affairs and foreign policy, we have offices around the world. Of course, our European Center for Law and Justice is a recognized NGO at the United Nations. So we've been doing this for decades, from Republican administrations to Democrat administrations to getting the job done. That's what we do. To protecting your rights when it's an administration that wants to go after them, to protecting religious liberty, to protecting freedom of speech, to protecting your rights, again, and fighting, of course, for the life of the unborn. That's just some of what we've done. I mean, I can't give you the entire, but I think Carolyn is right. And Wes Smith is a perfect example of that. Wes is joining us now. He's a policy expert with us, a former retired colonel in the U.S. military. And you wrote a piece, Wes, about what the Biden team may do to enable the enemy like Iran. Tell people about it as you start seeing these names like Jake Sullivan, who is Joe Biden's pick if he becomes president to be national security advisor. This is a guy who was an architect of the Iran nuclear deal, which has been highly criticized. As Stan said, he was likely chosen for this position because you don't have to be confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. And the Joe Biden is tipping his hand with people like him, like Amos Hochstein, who really tipped his hand as far as the geopolitical plans for the Middle East and for Iran going forward. If Joe Biden assumes office in January, is going back to the days of the Obama-Biden administration, Obama-Biden 2.0, where our allies like Israel could not depend on us, and our adversaries like North Korea and Iran did not fear or respect us. And the most significant tipping of the hand at this point, which came out last week, is that Hochstein stated that in a Biden administration, that they would do one of two things. They would either immediately re-enter the JCPOA with Iran, the Iran nuclear deal, or what he referred to as JCPOA minus, where, get this, if I had not read it and read the statement, it would be hard to believe. And that is, they might go in, lift all sanctions on Iran in exchange for Iran not getting rid of the violations of the nuclear deal they've done over the last 3 years, but simply stopping some of them in exchange for lifting sanctions and reaching out diplomatically. Iran, you know, is a threat not just to the region, it's a threat to the world. And they're coming in with this policy of reaching out. It's a throwback. Remember when the Obama administration freed up billions of dollars in international assets for them, delivered pallets of cash to Iran in the middle of the night. That simply enables terrorism. So Hochstein is talking about either re-entering it carte blanche or JCPOA minus, where they actually lift sanctions and Iran doesn't have to back off the progress they've made. They simply have to stop. Of course, in addition to that, the whole Middle East and the peace and progress there is up in the air as well, because Hochstein and others in the Biden team are now talking about going back in and putting the Palestinian issue at the heart of all diplomacy in the Middle East. There is a reason that the Arab nations have been lining up with the Abraham Accords and making normal relations with Israel, and that is because they are tired of sitting on the sidelines and having their own national security threatened because they can't solve the Palestinian issue. They're detaching, the Arab nations are, under the Trump administration, they've been detaching their safety and security and their economic interests in exchange for what has been for decades placating Palestinian leaders who are involved in corruption and terrorism. All of this is elections do have consequences. These are frightful potential consequences, Jordan, under the Biden administration. It will impact negatively all the peace, the progress that's been made in the Middle East. It will embolden and enable Iran if they go through with this.
Yes, we've got some new names to announce as well. So we talked about the Tony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who was removed from the State Department by the Trump administration as a swamp creature, now being back, brought back potentially by Biden as the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., which is a confirmed, has to be confirmed, and can be a cabinet position. That's up to the president of the United States. They kind of decide that. But we've got some new names as well. That Alejandro Mayorkas, who was a deputy secretary of Homeland Security under Obama, is now going to be put forward as the secretary of Homeland Security. That Avril Haines, who was the deputy national security advisor, is now going to be put forward as director of national intelligence. These were all Obama people. The deputy, she's also deputy director of the CIA. So again, it's like, and I want to welcome everybody back on Facebook. It went down for a little bit. I don't think that was a political reason for that time. This time on Facebook, I think it was more of a tech issue. But welcome back on Facebook. Share it with your friends and family so more people see this. But it also seems to me like we're getting the Obama B team.
Yes,
all the deputies, they're coming back now to get their job as the top level position. Mm-hmm. To me, that's even more dangerous because they may not be household names like some of the Obama people became. And yet they were the ones who were writing the policy for those top level Obama people. They were the architects of these deals, and they want back in.
Yeah, and we were in a geopolitical mess.
Yeah.
We were in a military mess by the time the Biden Obama administration ended. Going back to the JCPOA, which they want to reenter, Jordan, people need to keep in mind that the JCPOA did not forbid Iran from getting nuclear weapons. It simply postponed it for about 10 years. And during that interim time, as we inspected them to make sure they're complying with this farce of a nuclear deal, we could not inspect the military facilities, which is the logical place they would do research and development on nuclear weapons. You go down the list of the things that are on the face of them, they seem a little insane, but the real serious bottom line is that they are a threat to national security and to all the things we do in the future, not only for peace in the region of the Middle East and our Arab allies, but for us as well.
I want to make sure everybody sees your piece, too. So it's up at Facebook, and Russell, stay with us, too, and the next segment of the broadcast. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Listen, if you have some questions about the legal challenges, you can ask them. But again, we want to be as accurate as possible as representatives of the president in our other role. And I will tell you, as I told other news outlets today, that if I can't be 100% accurate right now, I'm not going to say something that is potential or what I think is going to happen. I want to be accurate. I think we're that late in the stage now where everything we say needs to be 100% accurate. And there's some kind of turmoil over the weekend in that you've seen in the news. I know you've all seen, and I don't want to really get into that or pick sides on that because that is not what we do. We don't represent the Trump campaign in that outside role. In our outside role, we represent the president in his individual capacity, President Trump in his individual capacity. We'll continue to do that as in our outside role. And I want all of those new listeners to ACLJ and our broadcast of JSecureLife to understand that as well, like Carolyn from Texas said. But again, check out Wes's blog. Make sure our social media team, let's make sure it gets tweeted out from our social media accounts and put up again on our Facebook accounts. Does the Biden team plan to enable the enemy? I mean, it's very straightforward. Support the work of the ACLJ. This is a critical time to do it. We've got all these experts, all these people ready to go. We're going to be ready to go on day one of whoever's administration it is, folks. That's what.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I want to encourage everybody, too, as we're back on Facebook and on YouTube now, and welcome those kind of new people who are interacting on YouTube. I think that's great. Parler and places like Periscope and Twitter, and, of course, the 1,000-plus radio stations we're on each day, and SiriusXM, make sure that you understand part of your support for the ACLJ, financial support of the ACLJ, goes to this broadcast. I mean, I wish I could turn the cameras around and show you the whole team that is here right now. But, I mean, there's 10 people in the control room. There's people taking your calls. There's people making sure that this goes up live and the video's going up live. There's our producers putting the content together. There's people making sure this is going out audio-wise and everything's working correctly. I mean, the team is there. And then, of course, we have a whole social media team that cuts up the show for you after so you can get little pieces of it to share on social media, little chunks of it as well. And we're, people that are bringing in the guests, people that make sure we've got the right connection to Washington, D.C., and everything is working. All of that is because of your support for the ACLJ. Now, the core support goes to, the most of it goes to, our legal work. I'd say secondary would be our government affairs work and our international work. But then it also, this broadcast, every single day, bringing you all this information. It's because of your financial support of the American Center for Law and Justice, and this is a great month to financially support the ACLJ because it's a matching challenge month, which means whatever you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled because we have a group of donors that say we will match all of the donations that came through in the month of November. But it's up to you to see how big that match is because you are the reason why they match a donation. You have to make that initial donation. Do it today at aclj.org. Even if really one of your top things that you like about us is the Jay Sekulow Live radio broadcast and television broadcast, that's a great reason to support it because it's on the air because of your financial support of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. Than, you brought up something interesting and I want to get back to it. It goes in line with what Wes is talking about too, which is that under the Trump administration, we have fortunately got used to an administration with Mike Pompeo and Trump and Pence and their advisors who are very tough when it comes to religious persecution abroad, especially Americans imprisoned abroad. And with these other administrations and with these other people that Joe Biden is talking about, it is like pulling teeth to get the State Department engaged. And certainly, you probably won't have Joe Biden tweeting out that he's about to sanction a NATO ally like Turkey to get an American home.
Yeah, Jordan, the difference, quite simply, has been presidential-level engagement. I mean, look, this is another example of an issue where we draw on decades of experience. We've worked on religious freedom issues across the globe, but specifically religious prisoners of conscience. So people that are being held, usually Americans, Jordan, who are being held in other places of the world on account of their faith. And look, going back through Democrat and Republican administrations, it has been like pulling teeth to get the bureaucracy and specifically to get the president to raise that to the level of their particular interest, their particular focus. And so, therefore, the wheels of government did not engage as aggressively as they should have on this. Jordan, that turned on its face during the last 4 years. President Trump, I think one of the things he did most effectively is say, no, as the leader of the United States of America, when we have one of these issues, I am not going to put it on the back burner because it might upset the economic apple cart. No, I'm going to engage. And as a result, Jordan, there is a long list of resounding resounding success where these prisoners were returned home, they were released, and they're back home now because of that. And I will just tell you, as we look forward to the next 4 years, I would hope, no matter who is president, that we would very simply look back at the last 4 years and then juxtapose that with the last previous decades and see that there has been a dramatic improvement in that track record. No matter who's president, Jordan, the model that President Trump put forward, it is just plain and simple. It's the one that that America should follow going forward.
Let me just say, folks, too, and let me go to Wes Smith on this. I mean, this is a model, again, that we've gotten used to, but we know that we need to prepare for the potential of an administration that comes in and goes right back to the same old way that Republicans and Democrats in the past did it, which was you got to go through all these levels of the State Department, all this diplomatic, and the president won't say anything about it. And if he does, it'll be it'll be a written statement that's kind of blah, and that you hope to God that maybe you get these people back home.
Yeah. You know, what President Trump has made very, very clear, and he's very candid, he's very direct. You know, people criticize him of not being nice to our allies and provoking our enemies. He's actually done neither of those. But he made it very, very clear, Jordan, that with people like Turkey who held, Americans and Iran and other places, it is in your best interest to support the United States as we try to look at our national security and personal interests as well. The same is true with our NATO allies. It was very clear, we will support you, we have this common defense treaty, but it is in your best interest to help the United States with our national security and other interests as well. That message has been so consistent and so clear, and it's that message and that policy that really hangs in the balance right now.
You know, Donna is on YouTube. She became a super chatter. She donated too. And I want to thank her for that. And she said, just thank you for all you do at the ACLJ. But thank you, Donna, as well. You know, a name we haven't talked about yet, too, resurfacing from the Obama years, and someone we had to deal with a lot on this Iran issue. John Kerry is looking to make a comeback, Than, as this time climate czar. Now, this goes back again to those Georgia Senate races and the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal could go right through Congress if Chuck Schumer becomes the majority leader, Than, of the U.S. Senate. I don't know if it'd be exactly everything people like AOC would want, because there are some moderate Democrats there that they'd have to get through, and there'll be Republicans as well, and there's a legislative filibuster. We'll see if they try to get rid of that or want to get rid of that. But that is why those two Georgia Senate races are so important, because John Kerry's going to be now part of this group as well if Biden gets there, and now he's coming in as climate czar.
Yeah, nothing good can come out of this, Jordan. I mean, we know where John Kerry is on this issue. Look, whether it's Green New Deal or Green New Deal Light, which would be bad enough, one thing we do know that he would do is advise that the incoming president rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. I mean, Jordan, if that's not bad enough, you don't even have to get all the way to Green New Deal to know what John Kerry would say. I think it's yet another example in this foreign affairs space where this group of people, the names that we're hearing coming out, would use that sort of maximum latitude that a president has right in the foreign affairs space, not having to go through Senate, to do an awful lot of damage. Now, Jordan, as you relate it to Georgia, if Democrats pick up those two seats and Vice President Biden transitions into the White House, then the Paris Climate Accord is the least of your concerns right when it comes to this issue.
Right. I mean, that's why we're talking about this, folks. You've got to be realistic. If you're going to be a good warrior for the causes you care about, if it's for conservatism or for the kind of policies that President Trump put forward, the populism and America First kind of ideas, you've got to be a good warrior. And that means you're going to sometimes have to battle back against bad policies and bad presidents. And you want to have all the tools at your disposal possible. You could have a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate that can, again, make the Paris Climate Accord kind of the worst of where they could go. Instead of, as Than just said, and Wes, I mean, that could be the least of your worries if you got a Green New Deal. And economically, that could be disastrous for America.
I take very, very seriously the hair stood up on my neck when I heard it when Chuck Schumer says, first we take Georgia, and then we change America. I'm not sure
America.
I want to change America the way Chuck Schumer does.
No, I don't think you do want that, folks. But you also, we got to be in this battle right now. Do not just assume that things are going to turn out the way you want them to. That's not how the world works. That's not what the Bible teaches either when it comes to worldly affairs. It's going to turn out the way you want. Prepare for battle. Always be ready. Support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be joining you again live tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live at ACLJ.org during this matching challenge month of November. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.